This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
We're going to talk about practical stuff this week because it is time to start shopping for Christmas. It's time to buy presents for everyone. And even if it's not Christmas time when you're listening to this, you're still going to be buying presents for birthdays and things. So yeah, I think you're going to pick up some shopping tips and some ideas that will help you make your money mean more.
Well, you know, everybody wants to be thrifty, right? And even though I don't have a statistic for this, you know, the average family spends an unbelievable amount of money at Christmas time. We just haven't had an unbelievable amount to spend.
No, we haven't.
And when you take that not that less than unbelievable amount and divide it by eight kids, plus the extended family,
it becomes quite modest.
It becomes a matter of careful planning and strategic shopping. I know.
And it has been important to me, Hal. Christmas was a big deal when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And my father just went crazy with Christmas. He just loved to buy us gifts. And, you know, we haven't had the money to do that, but I've wanted our kids to have that same sense of delight and wonder and excitement. I want them to be delighted with their gifts, but on the other hand, I want to give them things I can feel good about giving them.
Well, I remember I had, you know, everybody comes with two grandparents, right? And I had two grandmothers, and they had very different philosophies to Christmas. And one of them was kind of the fairy godmother type. She wanted to buy whatever the hottest thing was and the most exciting thing that was on TV. And she was real popular with the grandkids. The other one was very much a child of the Depression, and she wanted the children to be happy with their gift too, but she wanted it to be something that they could use, something that would be practical, something that wouldn't be a novelty that would wear out quickly or be pushed aside as no longer interesting, but something that would have a long term delight. And that's kind of been the approach we've tried to take.
Yes, we want it to be not just a flash in the pan, the latest hot present, but something that, you know, they're going to remember, they're going to enjoy for a long time. And I don't mean red underwear. I actually remember someone getting a gift like that.
Well, true. I mean, everybody's got a relative who has given something that is so utilitarian, you think, well, that's where you learn thankfulness.
But, you know, even socks can be fun. Was it last year that one of our boys found really cool, fun socks for every member of the family?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, they were unique to each member. Someone who shall remain nameless received Captain America socks.
True. Yeah. Well, you can have fun with the practical things, too. And I know sometimes I remember the big present that I got for you one time was a cordless phone. And that was really a kind of a new thing at the time. Yes, we're dinosaurs. But I remember that was the biggest thing that I had on the budget that year. And I had to, you know, I wrapped it up in all in separate pieces. You remember that?
Yes.
I took it out of the box and wrapped every little piece of it separately so that she had a bunch of packages to open. But she loved it, and we used that phone for years. You know,
everybody's philosophy of gift giving is different. You know, did you remember the time we went to this celebration?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was given their little pile of presents, and then they yelled go or something, and everybody ripped into them, shoved them back and forth, and that was it. It was done. It was over in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that was kind of stunning. We don't do that.
No.
Now we have another member of the same part of the family tree, who was really and truly had lived through the Depression and didn't have a lot of money to start with, and then the Depression took that away too. And his approach was on Christmas Day, he would take down one present and he would carefully unwrap it because you've got to recycle that wrapping paper. Okay. So he very, very carefully unwrapped it and opened that one present and said, thank you. And then he would take the rest of them and put them in his closet. And all the rest of the year, he would get down one package every month.
Seriously?
Yes. Because, you know, growing up poor in the mountains in the farming, you know, during the Depression, he knew that if you got something really good, you had to make it last. And
wow.
Christmas time for him was a 12-month affair. But You know, if you were given that particular relative something that he needed, like right now for the cold weather, you had to make sure that was the one he opened on Christmas Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we hit a happy medium?
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah.
Yeah, the way we handle it is we all take turns opening presents. And if you run out of presents to open, you open one of the gifts for the family. And that's fun because I love seeing their faces when they open their presents.
We just kind of savor the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
On Christmas morning. Well, you know, and here's some ideas. Okay. We want to talk about some ideas for things that you can do that your family will love and you'll feel good about doing. Okay.
You know, one thing your mom does, Hal, that
yeah.
I have had never heard of before you and I got married, and I've cherished it. She gives gifts from the past. And so she might give one of the children a tool that the grandfather used. I remember she gave me, when I was expecting our oldest, a silver rattle that you had played with. And you know what? That thing meant a lot to me as each of our children played with it.
And that's good, you know. And it wasn't the fact that it wasn't brand new was actually a plus. That gave it some value, you know. And we've done some things like that in other areas too with our kids. So that our kids know that if they open up a package and it's something that, you know, maybe it's not brand new, but it's something that's been previously loved and maybe have value, maybe have proven value. And the fact that you got it in good condition used meant that you could afford to get it at all. And they're thankful. They love it. They're delighted. They rejoice in the fact that you were a smart shopper.
Well, one of our sons wanted to start a lawn care business and mm-hmm. his brothers went out and bought him lawn care tools off Craigslist. He loved it. Another yeah. one was weightlifting. He wanted weights. His brothers found him something on Craigslist. Found him a bunch of weights. He was thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, practical things can be great presents.
Okay.
Like all of our guys when they were teens have loved like vintage style leather adventure worthy briefcases. You know, messenger bags, power tool sets.
Yeah.
You know, the.
Tools are a great thing.
Our teens have loved things like retro colognes. I don't know if you knew this, but it's really the retro stuff like your grandfather used is really popular. And you can buy that stuff really cheap on the bottom shelf at the drugstore. You know,
I remember one of our sons found a source for the cologne that the barber shop used to use. There was a particular flavor of cologne that they used to splash on the back of your neck after they shaved it.
Yes.
And I never smelled it anywhere but the barbershop, and it was so masculine and so, it's so much associated with that. And he found a source for it. And so every time he goes by, I'm thinking, I'm 8 years old and I'm waiting my turn in the barber chair again. Yeah. That's funny. But those things are out there.
Yeah. You know, clothes that they maybe couldn't afford otherwise, like wool coats have been a popular thing for our guys when they're teens, or like shirts.
Yeah.
You know, shirts that have sayings that they love, like, you know, we gave our own guys some of our Five Solas t-shirts that we came up with in celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Yeah.
And man, they have loved those things.
Okay. And that's a, that's a good thing. I mean, okay. So we're going to get those, by the way.
On our website.
Oh, okay. RaisingRoman.com.
Yeah. You know, so practical things are cool. Imaginative things are really cool. Things that our guys can use to help them in their imaginative play.
That's, you know, one of our friends posted something on Facebook just recently. Now, we're recording this, you know, in November, but she had posted something and said, well, we don't do Halloween in our family, but the week after Halloween, we do costume restocking day.
Yes.
And she goes out and she buys up all the costume stuff that goes on Markdown, and their kids have a blast with it. Well, you know what? Grown-ups have costumes too, and that's what you get at Army Navy stores.
Yes.
And that's what you get at Goodwill. And let me tell you what, our guys have gotten some deals at consignment shops and Goodwill, stuff like that. Leather jackets.
Oh, yeah.
They've gotten tweed coats. They've gotten some of the coolest stuff. And
now, our little boys love the Army jackets and things from the Army Navy store.
Yeah.
Wooden swords and, you know, toy guns, like, you know, the rubber band guns that we have. We have these rubber band machine guns that shoot like 12 rubber bands without reloading on our website. And one of our guys asked for one for Christmas because he wanted to take it back to college with him.
Oh, we have sold so many of those things to guys that work in cubicles because they like to spice things up at work. Incredible.
Well, or like the training swords. You know, a couple of years ago, one of our boys said, why aren't we carrying training swords? I said, I don't know what a training sword is.
What are you talking about?
And evidently, it's these polypropylene swords that are the same weight and balance of a real sword of the same size, but you can't actually split somebody's head open with it.
Yeah, this is what they use to train actors, you know, who are doing, they're going to be doing Macbeth or the Count of Monte Cristo or something, and they've got these sword fighting scenes. This is how they teach them to handle the sword when they don't have a blade, okay? It's to give them the strength and to give them the agility with it. Well, you can buy this. I mean, this is like athletic equipment.
Yeah, so now we have them on our site, thanks to our boys.
Yeah,
okay. You know, model rockets, kids love that. Constructive things like Legos and Fisher Technics.
Uh-huh.
Our kids love that stuff.
Sure, sure.
Now, one of the things, again, this was our boys' idea, is they said, you know what? There is no such thing like craft kits for serious teens. They've got craft kits for kids. They've got some stuff for girls.
Yeah.
But there's things I want to learn how to do, Mama. It doesn't exist. I said, well, like what? Well, so they ended up designing them.
I know the first one they came up with was just like totally off the wall. They came up with a kit to learn how to make chain mail.
Yes.
They had been reading like Men of Iron or Knights of the Round Table or something. And they said, you know, chain mail, that would be really cool. And they found a source. They found a source for the rings.
Yeah.
They found the tools that they need, worked out the instructions and everything. And yeah, they came up with that on their own.
And now they have an expansion kit.
Sure.
And then, you know, they had to learn how to wood burn, to burn the name on the front of those kits. And they said, this is really cool. Let's do a wood burning kit too.
Yeah.
So they did that. Mm-hmm. Then I think one of our boys or maybe our daughter suggested a calligraphy kit. And then then they made a leather one.
Yeah. Okay.
Leather working and then sketching. Right. And we've got a brand new one that actually is just being released today.
Yes.
It's a chef kit.
Oh, to teach some basics of cooking.
To teach. And it has tools that they can use that are their own, a recipe box for themselves, a chef's apron, all kinds of cool stuff.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, honest to goodness, it's something that we have seen again and again, heard people again and again saying, you know, both me and my wife, we both work or one of us is in graduate school or something, and we don't spend the time at home cooking like our parents did, and our kids really don't know how to cook anything. And so something like this would give them an entry into the kitchen to say, hey, here's how you make your own cookies. Here's how you make your own biscuits. Here's how you can make breadsticks or cook. I mean, I don't know what else is in this. It's
really a cool thing. Our guys have really become expert chefs. In fact, three of our boys catered one of our recent retreats, and the people couldn't stop talking about the food.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was amazing to me.
This could happen to you.
So craft kits, kind of things that they can do. And I like craft kits that aren't going to be an hour one afternoon, but they're going to have to work on for days or weeks.
Well, and something that's easy to see. Okay, now where do I go from here?
You know, Make it a real skill they can have for life.
I've learned a hobby. I've been introduced to something that I can build on. Like, you know, the calligraphy. It's one of those things. If you know how to letter something, if you know how to do decorative lettering and you learn to balance those things out and just the art of it, there's no end of the demand for that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for invitations, for announcements, for posters, for decorative items. I loved it. I learned how to do calligraphy when I was a teenager and I just loved it. Loved it. So that's a good one, too. That's a life skill in a way. Yeah.
Well, all those kind of things that teach them something, things that are fun, but they learn something, that they can carry on. That's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along with imaginative things, how about posters? You know, we gave one of our sons a poster with Rudyard Kipling's If on it. He loved that thing.
That inspired him. That is a very good piece of inspirational poetry. And, we did a poster. We actually put it together, I guess, a couple of years ago, and we still sell it, of a poem that was written by one of our sons talking about the nobility of, you know, what it meant to be a noble knight, what it meant to be a warrior for God, to live up to the chivalric ideal. And he wrote this really good poem about it, and we put it on a poster with some really good classical art.
And one of my friends put it in her kids' room, and she said, I hope they read it a million times.
Well.
And so we're going to talk about some more different classes of things that you can give your kids, including memories and stuff like that in just a minute. But we need to take a minute and thank our sponsor.
Well, wait a minute. You just used the magic word. Classes.
Yes.
Let's talk about classes.
Schoolhouseteachers.com is so awesome for a very small monthly charge. I mean, it's ridiculously small.
Oh, yeah.
You have access to over 350 classes, unlimited numbers.
I mean, courses.
Unlimited members of your family.
Yes. And it, I mean, it's everything from like basic phonics and reading and basic arithmetic up to like adult level continuing education type stuff.
Well, one of our children is gonna be using one to study graphic design.
Right.
Another one was using the class in advanced chemistry to help him learn his chemistry.
Yeah.
So much stuff out there, plus free planners. Just there's so much value you can't even imagine it. You've got to go check it out. Go to schoolhouseteachers.com. Sign up now because, you know, honestly, you can't drive through McDonald's for a family our size for what it costs every month.
Better yet, if you go to our show page at halandmelanie.com/radio and click on the link there, you will not only be visiting our sponsor, but you'll also be blessing this ministry because that is part of our affiliate link. And so, anyway, yeah, check that out. Schoolhouseteachers.com or halandmelanie.com/radio. What a great program this is.
Okay. Now, let's talk about some more great gifts. You know, something else that your mother started that I had never heard of is giving memories, giving experiences as gifts.
I had a friend whose parents did that for his birthday every year. They did things rather than give things. And that was kind of fun.
Well, like one of the things your mama has done is given us a zoo membership. You know, one of our sons asked for a gym membership.
Yeah.
I remember one time going out and hunting at yard sales, camping gear and tents and all that, and buying what we couldn't find and planning a camping trip. You know, giving memories and experiences are awesome because it's something you can enjoy all year.
And it's something you can enjoy as a family. And that's something that we found really helpful, too, is that we got a large family and you've got a small budget and you start to say, well, how much can I get for $10 per child? I mean, you know, it can get kind of discouraging, but yet our kids grew up with the idea that they share a lot of things.
Yes.
That there are things that belong to the family, like, hey, we got something really cool that we're all going to enjoy together.
Let's talk about some great family gifts. How about games, Al? Games are so awesome.
Yes, they're vastly underestimated.
Okay, so let's talk about the games our family loves. We love Millborns.
Millborns.
It's like
great.
A French racing game. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's a card game, but it's kind of like, you lay the cards down. That's how you play it. And it's a road rally sort of thing. That's
Clue. Clue is a fun game. It's a mystery game.
Yeah.
Catchphrase. Most people probably know about Catchphrase.
Uh-huh.
Our kids enjoy that a lot.
Well, okay. But now we do need to say something about games. You know, one of the things that you run into is to say, well, you got to understand, my kids are like, I've got all these kids and they're like 8 or 9 years apart from start to finish. How are they going to play together?
Put them on teams.
Put the
oldest and youngest together. And the next oldest and the next to youngest.
Oh, okay. So
because
you get
the little kids,
like
all they want to do.
Number one and number six are one team, and number two and number five are a team.
Right, because all the little kids want to do is roll the dice and move the man, and the big kids want to do the strategy, you know? So it works out well.
Okay, that does work.
A fun game that I heard is going out of print, I hope not, is called Snake Oil.
Yeah.
It's kind of an entrepreneurship game. A marketing game.
This can be absolutely hilarious.
It's so funny.
Because the way this game works is you get three or four little attribute cards, and you have to come up with a product.
Yes.
And then you have to come up with a sales pitch to market this product.
Yes, this imaginary product. It's a blast.
It is funny.
So much fun.
Some of those combinations are wild.
Noisy games like Pit, which is based on the Chicago Stock Exchange, and Theodore Roosevelt played that
Roosevelt
game.
Roosevelt thought that one was just bully.
We have to talk about Civitas. Now, we sell Civitas.
Right.
But we were part of the beta testing group for this game. It's a government game, and the rules change when the government changes the game.
So the game is continually changing as
I play the monarchy card, I get to be the queen and make all the decisions. But then if you play the democracy card, then we have to vote on everything. It's a blast. So much fun.
And you'll learn something in the process.
Our teens and 20s became obsessed with it.
Oh, they used to take it to church with them and play with all their friends after church.
Oh, they love it.
Okay.
Okay. You know, books have always been a big part of our Christmas, Al.
Oh, yes.
We give our kids old books that we found in used bookstores.
Yes.
We give them new books. A great all-family gift is an audiobook that you can listen to in the car.
Oh, yes, because we do spend so much time in the car. And in fact, I read that this year the travel is going to be absolutely stupendous. So many people on the road for Thanksgiving.
And you know, audiobooks make the miles pass so much more quickly. Uh-huh. And I found, you know, we found they engage all ages. The little kids, the big kids love listening to stories. They're going to get different things out of it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Pollyanna, when we recorded that, I really expected the younger kids to like it. But our teens were saying, "Mom, wait till I'm in there. I want to hear what happens next." It was so funny that even the teens enjoyed Pollyanna and Pollyanna Grows Up.
Oh, yeah. And then
same thing with Five Little Peppers.
Sure.
You know, Pollyanna now teaches you to be grateful and to be more thankful, have a good attitude. Five Little Peppers teaches contentment, that people are more important than things.
Yeah, yeah.
And all ages in our family love both series.
And then, you know, we've got some classic tales that boys just love, like Captain's Courageous, Kipling's story about a young rich boy gets swept off the deck of an ocean liner and he gets rescued by a fishing boat. And they don't believe him when he says he's rich and demands to go home. He said, "No, we just got out for the season." He has to work his way home. Man, what a summer he had. What character development. Fantastic story.
You know, I always loved Men of Iron, where he becomes a knight in order to retrieve his father's honor. We've got that one, too.
Yeah.
In fact, you've got a new one coming out. Is it going to be ready by next week?
Oh, it's going to be ready by next week. It's a classic, Christian classic, called The Sky Pilot. It's a story about the foothills of Alberta back in the Wild West days in Canada. And it's a story of a settlement out there in the foothills. It's ranchers, it's desperados, it's people that are trying to get away from society, people that want the independence. And this young missionary comes and lands in their town, and he wins them over.
You know, I was thinking the other day about how we found out about that book. I was reading a book written in the early 1900s, and the book mentioned The Sky Pilot, like everybody ought to know what this is. And I started doing some research. I found out that book sold 1 million copies. And so I had to get a copy of it and read it and loved it.
Okay. So yeah, that one's going to be ready very shortly. And there, you know, maybe some other things come out too. I know some other projects are in the pipeline where I got to see the release date on them.
And we've got, of course, the classics we've had for a while. Hero Tales from American History by Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, that's good. That's fun for all ages.
Audiobook with sound effects.
Uh-huh.
The Cry from Egypt radio theater is a blast. It has 50 actors and original score.
That's good. That really will open your eyes to what it must have been like to be a Hebrew slave in ancient Egypt and what it was like to see the plagues unfolding all around you and you are untouched. What's going on here?
You know, one of the classics that we just started carrying, but our kids have listened to for years, is the Sugar Creek Gang series. You know,
I think Mom and Dad probably listened to it years ago, too.
I listened to it when I was a kid on BBN.
These are so good.
They're so good. I listened to it when I was a kid. All of our children have listened to it, even the ones that are adults now. There's stories about a group of kids in mostly Christian families back in Indiana in the 30s and 40s, and they're just... they're fun, they're exciting, and they show you what does it look like for a kid to be a real Christian.
Yeah, what are the conflicts he has to face? What are the things he has to grapple with as a 9-year-old, you know, out in his little community? So, oh man, those are great stories. I love those.
Yeah, the Ranger Mike is a new discovery this year. They're DVDs, and they're nature from a creation science perspective.
Yeah.
I know our youngest really enjoyed those.
Okay.
The Ranger Mike stories.
Yeah.
You know, there's active things, bicycles. You know, you don't have to go buy a new bicycle. You can go buy a used bicycle. And I know one dad sanded all the pieces down, took it apart, and put all the pieces in a box. And he and his child put it together and painted it for his new bike.
How about that?
That's a cool idea.
Yes, it is.
You know, balls and bats and gloves, all those things are always popular. Yeah. You know, what kids ask for a lot are video games and devices.
Okay. And I'm not totally a Luddite about this. You know, I like my technology and I recognize especially our teenagers need to get used to using technology. Do you know where the old solitaire game came from in Microsoft Windows and those early versions of Windows? Do you know why they had solitaire?
No, why?
Because they were trying to teach users to get comfortable using a mouse. And they thought, we'll put this game out there. Everybody knows how to play solitaire, and they'll get used to this idea of click and drag. And we'll teach them to be very comfortable with this new tool that we've introduced.
Wow.
Well, not every game is quite that practical. But there are some good games out there. There are some good, you know, historical simulations. There are some games that involve problem solving. You know, they're not all bad, but you do need to be cautious about them. You do need to be discerning.
Well, one thing is to keep control, you know, so that it doesn't get out of control. One of the things we've done is, you know, the Xboxes kind of thing is we've put them at my mom's house so that when they visit their grandmother, they play them and they enjoy them,
yeah.
But they're not obsessed with playing them day in and day out all the time.
Right.
And that's a good balance, I think. You know, things like Legos and Fisher Technics are things our kids have really enjoyed. I mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
But what I meant to mention is, you know, that's something your older kids can do for your younger ones is they can gather those sets back together.
Yeah.
And design new things for them to build. You know, like make you can buy huge bins of these things on Craigslist or at FreeCycle.
Yeah.
And give your kids new projects to build with them.
And, you know, even the kind of things that that might have been branded, you can sort of reimagine them. Like, I know one year we got a set for one of our little guys that was like an Indiana Jones theme. And we just turned it into a paleontology type of expedition, you know. Yeah. It wasn't tied in with the movie so much. It was that we still got adventurous scientists going out and they're encountering these wild animals and dinosaurs and stuff. So,
you know, something we should mention when we talked about experiences is last year a lot of couples gave a trip to our marriage retreat to their mate for Christmas.
Yes, they did. And let me tell you, we got such good feedback from those two retreats. I mean, we had people said they were just inspired. I had one person said, I haven't felt this encouraged about my marriage in years.
Oh, wow.
And we just had the best time together. Those two retreats, we had people coming like from Arizona and from Illinois and from Texas coming to the mountains of North Carolina. Well, we're working on some retreats for this year. We're not ready to announce yet, but we've got some really exciting prospects we're working on.
Yeah, keep your eyes open for Come Away Weekend.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing is, you don't have to buy whatever's advertised. You can look around, be creative, find things that they're going to love that are imaginative and fun and that are going to be memorable stuff. I remember one year.
Yeah.
We actually had very little budget because I think you'd been laid off or something.
Right.
And I had some money that my grandmother had given me in her will.
Yeah.
And one of the music stores in our area went out of business. And they took all their rental instruments.
Yes.
And they marked them down
like
to
ridiculously
dirt.
I mean, dirt. Marked down.
And for a few $100, we bought like 6 instruments for our kids.
We bought band instruments that our kids had played for probably, 12 years now?
Oh, yeah.
At least. And
more than that, honey. I think that was a long time ago.
It was a long time back. That's true. That was. It was a long time. At any rate, you know, just be creative about that and recognize that your love is not measured by the bottom line of the dollars you spent.
No.
You know, your love is measured by your love.
And yet it's all right to spend money on presents. You know, I was reading in the Proverbs and it says, with all your getting, get wisdom. And I was thinking about that, you know, with all your getting, with all the spending and collecting you do, make sure that you're spending it on good things, on things that are going to build your family up and edify your family.
Well, and that's why we bought musical instruments, because we thought, you know, this is something that our kids will benefit from, that they will enjoy for years to come, and we may not have another opportunity to do this. This is an investment.
And that's why we've given them G.A. Henney novels and Sugar Creek Gangs and all these audiobooks and things that we can share as a family, and I know that are going to build my family's character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things I can feel great about giving them. And that's what the kind of things we've tried to put together. And I know we've talked a lot about the things we have in our store, but this season is very important for our ministry because during the season, we make the funds that it takes to keep our ministry going until the conference season starts again in March and April.
Right.
And so when you spend money at our store during this season, it keeps our ministry going for months. Mm-hmm. And so we're grateful when you do that. And we're grateful when you tell your friends about us, when you post about us on social media. Let me tell you about a resource we've got. It's raisingrealmen.com/giftguideforboys.
This is our annual gift guide with ideas for gifts for your sons, for your nephew, for your cousins, even for dad and grandpa.
Yes.
Stuff that guys like.
Yes.
And you know what? Here's the thing about it. We don't recommend it if it's not something that we like. And
oh, everything in
everything,
here.
This is a well-curated collection.
This is stuff we've given.
Ideas that we've given, things that our guys have loved, things that we said, man, that was such a good investment. I'm glad that we added this to our lives.
And so go out to raisingrealmen.com/giftguideforboys. Mm-hmm. Couple of things. We've got a free gift for you there.
Right.
Also, there's a gift with purchase that mentions about halfway through, so be sure you read carefully. Mm. And many of the links in there are affiliate links, which will bless our ministry.
Sure.
Or go to our own site. And so please share that with your friends, because it's a blessing to us. And we really appreciate your support and your friendship. We value you, and we're grateful for you. So may the Lord bless you this holiday season, mm-hmm. and give you joy and happiness in your family.
Absolutely. And we appreciate you spending the time with us, and hope that you'll join us again next week as we talk about applying biblical principles in everyday life. Until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie. Check out schoolhouseteachers.com.
All right. Thanks.
Bye, y'all.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's halandmelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/halandmelanie or facebook.com/raisingrealmen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.